You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. You know, in Psalms 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But, there's always that but. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water." The river of water, what water is that? "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Then he goes on, "The ungodly are not so." You know, the Word of God, the Lord taught me that the Word of God is everything. That by the Word of God, all the heavens and the earth were framed. That in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And if you want to honor Jesus Christ, you honor his Word. Because he is the Word. If you don't like part of the Word of God, then you obviously don't like Jesus Christ. Because you're commanded to love and respect and honor and desire everything of Jesus Christ, not just the stuff that you like. So people are taught to disregard a lot of the Word of God. The Bible, they go through it and they don't go to certain scriptures because it doesn't fit their theology, doesn't fill their purpose in life. They're picking and choosing on the personality and the inspiration of Jesus. That's really, really a bad situation to be in. I was very lucky. I never knew anything about religion or Christianity or any other religion. I didn't have any great philosophies or any great human teachings. My whole philosophy was, be nice to people and you'll have a nice life, because you'll dodge and weave all the bad people. And when you find the bad people, separate yourself from them. That was basically my philosophy. And you make the opportunities. That was my philosophy. And it was all about choice. I understood sovereign choice. I understood that the road that I walked down, if I made the right choices with whatever I had dealt to me in life, I would have a better chance than somebody who had everything but made bad choices. You know, a guy once said to me when I was already in the Lord, he said, "What star were you born under? What stars lined up when you were born?" And I said to him, "Listen, mate, I was homeless at 15, and I'd hitchhiked from Brisbane to Adelaide and back to Brisbane 9 times. I've slept in many parks with newspaper wrapped around me. I've done all of that stuff, but I didn't drink, I didn't gamble, I just didn't have any way of living a really good life. But I made the right choices with whatever I had. I didn't get involved in bad company. So I was a homeless person, not seeking the company of other homeless people." And I said to him, "All I did was, I just made, once I became a Christian, I understood that all the choices, they're all right before me. And if I choose life, I'll have life and life more abundantly." So I just did that. And I said to him, "Listen, mate, you can have a Ferrari in your driveway and never drive it. And then you can have an old bombie old car and drive it around everywhere. what you do with what you got. Now, I'm a Christian. I'm a king and a priest. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have all the promises that God gave to Abraham at my fingertips. All I have to do is just walk in them. I have the Holy Spirit to guide and lead me into all truth. And I have His presence. So what more do I need? I mean, I've searched the scriptures out, and all they say is, if you seek God with all your heart, all of the kingdom of God will come upon you and overtake you. So I just went down that road. I sought God with all my heart, and the kingdom of God enveloped me. And now I just walk around in the presence of God. That's all it is. I just walk around in the presence of God. You know, God the presence of God used to come and then go and come and go, but now is permanent. Now, when the time's right, I walk up to people and they can't stand up. I start talking to them, and the presence of God envelops them. Angels start turning up, and they can't stand up, and they know it's God. And I touch people, and the power of God just floods into their life. I stand around people, and they start just crying, tears coming out of their eyes. You know, that's where I am now. You know, I flew down to Sydney, and I met a guy named Alex. And he'd been praying away and fasting, trying to break through into this place. And God was super keen. So Don and I got picked up at the airport by him, went to a house that he'd organized, and we're going to have a whole bunch of people turn up and minister to them that night. But we just started praying when we got to the house, started cleaning up the atmosphere of the house, because it was just a rented house for a weekend. And the presence of God came, and we laid hands on Alex, and all of his Christmases came at once. He went out into the backyard and laid down on the ground and just thanked God. God gave him breakthrough that weekend. His dad got filled with the Holy Spirit and got baptized. Some of his friends got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he walked away from that weekend a changed man. And he started seeking God even more. And now, wherever he is, I know that he's walking in the presence of God. Because he's gone after the same stuff I went after. We haven't obtained everything, but we're pressing towards the mark of the high calling. And he's going around praying for people and seeing their lives change now. Gets on the phone with me and we hook up and we get on the speaker and we pray for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit and healed and demons jumping out of them and all this stuff. That's his life now. He's got a sold out, totally wrapped around the presence of God life. You can have that too. All you got to do is just trust in Jesus. Not in Donna and I, but in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, does that happen all day and all night? No. It happens when God chooses. When I get near a person who's on fire for God, when I get near them, the presence of God starts manifesting big time. And they get whacked off their head. And on the street, this is on the street, you know, walking by and I see a person I know that is a Christian. I start talking to them and all of a sudden angels start turning up within minutes. No minutes, seconds. And they could feel it. And I say, can you feel that? They say, yes. And they said, I can't talk to you anymore. I have to get home. I can hardly stand up. That's where I'm now. So, you know, people who are bad, they don't want to come near me. People who are bad and who are called by the Lord, they come near me. But people who are bad, they don't want to come near me. They look down on the ground. They can't look me in the face. And I don't have to tell them who I am. You know, in the Bible, in the Gospels, it says that Jesus spoke with great authority. You know, I understand now what that authority is. It's a spiritual authority that God has given me. Why? Because he likes me? Yes, he wants to give you everything that I've got. Everything that you've heard in all my testimonies and whatever you've heard me speak about, you can have. It's all for you as well. You can come and have your cup overflowing with the presence and the love and the power of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ, and you'll flood into your life. But you know, people don't want to do that because it's hard. They have to put the flesh down. That's just the way it is. You know, natural thinking Christians can't receive the things of God because their mind hasn't been renewed. And they know not God. They are full of God. They've got him in, they've got the Holy Spirit, but they don't have any revelation of God, or very little. And they use churches to frame their understanding. They use all sorts of varying religions to frame their understanding of who God is. But I use the Holy Spirit. I go directly to the Holy Spirit and I say, who is the Father and who is the Son? And he shows me over and over again. And my knowledge and understanding of things get deeper and deeper. And the presence of God envelops me, and I wake up in the presence of God, and it's hard to step out of it. Especially when your wife wants you to get out of bed and do something, and you're laying in the presence of God. That takes a bit of effort. It's not a laziness, it's a pleasure. For the kingdom of God, it's enveloped me in pleasure. You know, the Bible says, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I walk in those things all the time. The things of this world, they just keep growing slowly dimmer and dimmer. I don't have much interest in the things of this world. All I do is walk in a bubble of God, in the presence of God. And you'd think, well, that's copping out. No, it's not. I can get 1,000 times more stuff done through the presence of God to humanity, to change humanity, to change an individual's life, than I can just doing it naturally. The power of God holds all of the universe together, every molecule. And I'm involved in all of that. I'm wrapped in all of that. Don't you think you'd succeed? You know, one of the problems that we have with God is our perception of God's bigness. He's big. He's very, very big. He holds every molecule together by the word of his power. That's Jesus Christ. And if you understand how big God is, once you've stepped into the presence of God and you have just been awestruck in how powerful and how deep and how far-reaching the presence of God is, all fear leaves because you no longer have to worry about the souls of men. You no longer have to worry about the provision of this life. You no longer have to worry about anything that's going to come against you. Nothing, nothing. No weapon formed against us will stand, the Bible says. And I've seen it happen over and over again. But we need to get into a place where God can work with us. And it's very hard if we've got our eyes on the world and on the Lord. We can't serve two masters. We can only serve one. And if you serve Jesus Christ, and if you get involved with him fully, then you'll save the world. That's the paradox. If you leave the world and serve Jesus Christ with a full heart, you'll save the world. If you leave the world and all of its stuff and you'll gaze upon those things and follow Jesus properly according to the Word of God, not according to your church or your brand of religion, but according to the Word of God. The Word of God is paramount. It is the express image of the Father. And if you want to know who the Father is, the Word of God is the express image, and the Word of God is Jesus. And man was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down, to pen the Word of God so that we can read it. So the principle is that the Holy Spirit moved upon men and inspired them so that they would write down words that are eternal, that are inspired by God, that have a rhema to them, their logos on the paper, but they can be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit and become rhema. And then all of a sudden things start becoming shaky. People's lives start falling apart and God starts flooding into them. The things that they stand on, which they think are firm, fall apart, and God's life floods into their life and picks up all the pieces and puts it together, a broken life, into something that is brilliant, something that's inspired by the kingdom of God. That's how wonderful the Word of God is. The Word of God convicts men. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, and He uses everything else around. But the Word of God is powerful and sharp. And the Word of God is an anchor for our soul. If we want to know about the kingdom of God, and some of our friends have some weirdo ideas and some strange and very creative ideas about who God is, if it's not in the Word, then it's not true. Now, that's not to say that I've had some people say to me some really, really, really far out stuff about God. And I'm struggling to believe them. And I'm saying, this is too far out. So I go to the Lord and I say, is what they're saying true? And He leads me to scriptures that men have walked past for hundreds and hundreds of years, never ever looked at. And I look at them and they come alive. And then all of a sudden other scriptures come alive. And things start coming together and I go, wow, that's amazing. You mean you're really that far out? God says, I'm so far out that this reality that we have doesn't even cut it. It's so non-existent. I'm living in that place now. I walk in that place where the spiritual realm is bleeding over into the natural, and it's starting to envelop my natural life in such a way that it runs everything. And I just stand in amazement. I mean, I can have anything I want now, because everything I want, I'll say it again, because everything I want is to please Jesus and the Father through the Holy Spirit. I don't want the things for my own self anymore because they've been flushed out of me. It's not to say that I can't enjoy my life, but I've found something greater than the life can give me here. I found something that I can't find anything in this life that competes with the presence of God. Standing in a suspended place in the presence of God is greater than anything I've experienced in this whole life. And I've been married for nearly 40 years. And I've got children and grandchildren. And I've got a wonderful wife. And I can honestly say I've never felt anything in this world, never experienced anything in this world. Some of the other things I've experienced are just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic in this world. But once you've been in the presence of God for long enough, the competition just fades away. You know, the Lord just beats everything, hands down, in the presence of God. So you'd think you'd be in the presence of God doing something. You know, there are angels who have assignments. And, you know, they have to stand in one place for a long time, maybe thousands of years, waiting, or they're maybe protecting a place. They're an angel standing in a place, protecting an area. Do you think that they'd say, I'm pretty bored here? No, because the presence of God is not a doing thing. It's not a natural experiential thing. It's something that is far greater than this natural life can give you. Matter of fact, this natural life is like 1%, and the kingdom of God is like 10,000%. The presence of God. You know, if I would say, oh, I can't say that. It's just that I can't show anybody this stuff. They have to step into it themselves. You know, to just sit and stare into space for 3 hours and be enveloped in the presence of God and then tell somebody that, they'd think that's the most boringest thing in the world. They couldn't perceive or even conceive anything. Why anybody would do that? But I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. And I tell you what, I have life more abundantly, effervescent life. Because when I'm in that place, God's talking to me and he's explaining things to me. And I'm having a hard time trying to explain them in this realm. Because they're, you know, I understand what Paul said when he said he was taken to the third heaven. He said he saw things that were unlawful. He meant they were unexplainable. He didn't have the vocabulary. There was no possible way he could explain. And they were not physical things. I've seen things in the spirit. But being in the presence of God is not a seeing thing so much. It's not a doing thing so much. It's an absolute encompassing experience. And it far overreaches any doing experience, any seeing experience. It's just a being experience. You know, to a natural person in this life, they need to be doing something to have excitement. They need to be seeing something to have excitement. They need to be eating something to have excitement. They need to be interacting with another human being maybe to have excitement. Well, I interact with God. And I don't need to do or be anywhere. I don't need to see anything. Just the presence of God is beyond everything that this world can offer. And you can have that too. If you're willing to just lay your life down, and that's your doing and your other stuff that's half-baked, that is useless and hopeless, that's going to fade away, and step into something that is eternal. Eternal. You know, in the Revelations, there's these saints who are under the throne of God. And they're saying, how long, how long? They've been there for a while. And he gave them white robes to rest. You know, Jesus, he's given us this rest through the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues. Because in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, for stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people, saying, what's he saying? This is the rest, this is the refreshing, where I may cause the weary to rest. But they won't hear. No, they want to go back to line upon line, here a little, there a little. They want to go back to some pastor who wants to teach them about 10 steps to something and this 4-step plan to being righteous and holy, how to love your brothers and sisters, invite people around for dinner, all of these things. But they don't teach you how to get plugged into the Holy Spirit effectively and totally comprehensively, so that it's all encompassing, so that your life is enveloped, wrapped around the kingdom of God. the kingdom of God is running your whole existence. And, you know, you don't have to step out of the kingdom of God to go and do stuff. The kingdom of God walks with you. It goes with you and transforms everything around you to be positive. When the enemy comes against you, the kingdom of God warfares against the enemy. When poverty comes against you, the kingdom of God supplies your needs. When sickness comes upon you, the kingdom of God calls in the blood of Jesus to wash away all of the stuff that causes us to be sick. But by his stripes we are healed. The kingdom of God is powerful. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's not in this natural life. But it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I went after the kingdom of God. All I did was just sit down and pray for 5 hours a day for 3 months. And I stepped into something that was fantastic. And then I just kept going for 5 years. And I prayed for 5 hours a day for 5 years. People would say, that's hard. No. It was an absolute joy to pray in the presence of God, enveloped in the presence of God. I was swept off my feet by the presence of God. I couldn't wait to get out of bed, go and sit on my lounge and start praying in tongues every day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I couldn't wait. So to another person, they think, you're wacko. I'd rather be eating a hot dog. I'd rather be watching a movie about someone else's life. I'd rather go to a fairground and take a nice ride for a minute and pay lots of money and thrill myself that way. I'd rather go surfing or fishing. I'd rather watch football, whatever. But what I do is I like to get in the presence of God. And I've seen football. I've lived at the beach for years and years. I lived on an island for a year. I walked around with bare feet for a year. I went fishing, spear fishing. I walked around the bush I had a marvelous time. For a year I walked around with no shoes. And I haven't lived anything in this natural world that comes close to the presence of God. You know, like I said before, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy. In Psalms it says, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. And in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if you're a pleasure seeker, go and get in the presence of God and move into his right hand, into his place of total domination of the flesh and your life through the Holy Spirit. And you'll have pleasure forevermore, pleasure eternally. It means it will never run out. And it'll be overwhelming pleasure, pleasure that beats any pleasurable experience in this world. And you'll be lost in him. And it'll be very hard for you to resist the love and the presence and the power that comes with the presence of God, with the kingdom. And through that, you'll fall more in love with God, with the Son and the Father through the Holy Spirit. And you'll have a desire to save souls. Because you'll see people through the eyes of God. You'll see how precious they are. You know, you can save somebody with a wooden sword, and you might get one or two saved with a wooden sword. But you can get many, many people saved with a fully functional steel sword. You can get more, even more saved with the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. You can move into that place. If you'll just sit down and just pray in tongues and learn to worship in the Holy Spirit. Speak to God the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit searching the deep parts of you and speaking them out to God. And God transforming your life so that he can fellowship with you, because he only fellowships with the change. And when he changes everything, he fellowships. You know, if I go to a guy's place and he's got dirty old filthy lounges and carpet ripped up all over the place, I'm not going to feel very comfortable there having a cup of tea or sitting on the dirty old filthy greasy old lounges. No, for me to fellowship with him, he needs to go and throw his lounge, rip up his carpet, lay down some nice carpet, bring in some really comfortable lounges, paint the walls, make everything look spicky and span. Then I'll come in and feel very comfortable, and I'll fellowship with him. Well, God, he can't fellowship with the filthy, dirty, unchanged life. He needs you to change through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will fashion your life in such a way that God will want to come and be with you. You know, I don't have to anymore say to God, please fill me with your presence. I remember I used to have to do that. Oh Lord, Father, just envelop me in your presence. I want to worship you, and I would pray those things, and he would come. Now he can't wait to be with me. He is waiting for me to wake up, and I wake up in his presence. I wake up fully in his presence. I wake up in this beautiful lounge, beautiful carpet, well painted, air conditioned place that's ornately decorated. I wake up in that every day. You know, I don't have to go to God and say, please, God, come, please. I'll be a good person, whatever. No, I've let him destroy all of the broken stuff in my life. And now my life is his to do with. And all he wants to do is be with me. I don't have to share him with anybody else, because he's big enough to deal with everything in every person's life. I don't have to share him with anybody else. I can have the fullness of God. If you would understand that, you would start the journey into sanctification through the Holy Spirit. Having your soul sanctified by the Holy Spirit, having all of your twisted thinking straightened up, all of your theology being straightened up, all of your attitudes being taken away, and having an attitude of thanksgiving, because God has come and rescued your life in such a way you're not just saved, but you are renovated in such a way that you are a light on top of a hill. So that other people can see that light and say, I want that. I want to live in that. I want to be in that. I want to see that happen to me. You know, you don't have to fake it till you make it. That's rubbish. That's a silly lie. I actually am walking in the authentic presence of God. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to speak forwardly, hoping that it will come. No, the presence of God has overtaken me now, and I live in the presence of God, and I get to speak and hear God. How far can we go? Well, Enoch, he walked with God, and he was so much walking with God that God took him. You know, Elijah, well, he was walking with God. He ended up going up in a chariot. There's a few people who are pressing in this world towards something far greater than what they have here. I, for one, I'm going forward. You know, the Lord has told me what he's going to use me for. There's a lot of stuff I can't speak to people about. Not to be smart about it, but they won't understand. They don't have the capacity to even understand some of the small stuff that the Lord has shown me. I have to get them and give them milk so that they can even start to move forward into the meat. And the meat is doing the will of God through the power of God. Not the meat, not the will of God through the power of humanity. The meat of God is doing the power of God, doing the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's all into dead works, doing their own stuff in the name of God, thinking that God's going to give them a reward. They're going to be very disappointed. God's going to say, there's no reward for that because I didn't authorize that. It's not the way I wanted. How would you be going into someone's house and painting it purple? And they hate purple. How would you be spending $20,000 furnishing a house full of furniture which they hated? It's not what they want. How would you be going and buying a $1 million house in the middle of the Simpson Desert and give it to them? He spent 30 years saving up the money, working 8 jobs. And that's not what they want. No. See, we want to walk in the perfect will of God. There's the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We'll talk about that. There's the 30, 60, and 100-fold. I want to walk in the perfect will of God. I want to do what He really wants in my life, not what I think He wants. And the Bible says in Hebrews, today if you'll hear His voice, that's the Holy Spirit, harden not your heart as they did in the wilderness. Don't harden your heart. Go to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit soften your heart. And God will write His laws, His ideas, His concepts on your heart. And it will be the deep and meaning stuff inside you. You will be motivated from the most central part of your being, from your heartfelt thoughts. They will be the same thoughts of God. And you will be on the same page with God. And you'll be doing the same stuff that God desires you to do. Because you have allowed Him to transform your hard heart, your stony heart, into something that's malleable and soft that he can write and inscribe His ideas on. And that will be your deepest thoughts. Not your mind, but your heart. Your mind and the thoughts in your mind are fleeting. They come and go. But the stuff that goes into your heart, that stays. It takes a lot of effort to get it out. And if you can get the stuff that God wants in your heart, very hard for the enemy to try and get you to turn. That's where he's trying to try and stop you. Because when you start allowing your life to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and your heart is soft, the enemy has a hard time trying to turn you. He loses his influence in your life big time. And the idea is to stay in that place. That intimate place with the presence of God where your heart gets softer and softer and you'll do anything for Him no matter what it is, because he is dominating everything inside of you. He's dominating your thoughts. He's dominating them because they are far greater than what anything in this world could offer. That's what you can have. You can walk in a victorious life through the promises that were given to Abraham through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you can have. But how much do you want it? Well, you may not want it at all. It may be very hard for you to even think, oh, I don't want this, is too hard. Well, God doesn't want to give you something that's too hard. He wants to make it easy for you. And He's saying to you, will you sit down on a nice lounge? Very comfortable lounge. Make yourself a cup of tea and let me pray you into a place of absolute victory. Will you let me do that? Will you give me your tongue so that I can speak the words that I desire for your life? You may not understand them, but once I've worked on your life, I'll go after the rest of everybody else's life with the overflow of your words. So once I've filled you up for that day, all the overflow I'll use to transform other people's lives and get them sitting on lounges in air-conditioned comfort with a cup of tea, praying, and thousands of people are being inspired to sit on the lounge and pray and transform their lives, and with their overflow, transforming other people's lives. And it goes on and on and on. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, this mountain will be removed. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Spirit and power, that's how all the things are broken down. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Your stronghold is your system of thoughts that are not in alignment with the kingdom of God. That's your stronghold. And if you let the Holy Spirit take control of your life, he'll get a big cord, he'll plait it, and he'll turn the tables over in your life, and he will scatter all of those that make a mockery of the kingdom of God, because you are the house of the living God. You are his presence, you are his dwelling place, you're his temple. And as Jesus drove out all of the money changers, he'll drive out everything that is not in alignment with the kingdom of God. Will you allow him to turn all the tables over in your life to all the useless ideas and thoughts that you hold dear? That's a question I want to ask you. You can do it in little steps. The first step is to go and make a cup of tea. The next step is to find a nice comfy lounge. And the third step is to just relax and let the Holy Spirit transform your life through the power of speaking in tongues. Can't be that hard, can it? You know, all it takes is your will. Your will is so important to God, so sovereign. He will not violate your will. He will not force you. He will not force you to sit down on that nice, comfortable lounge. Make yourself a nice cup of tea. He won't force you. He won't force you to speak in tongues. It's got to be your desire. And this ball's in your court. It's up to you. I did that, and I look where I am now. I've spoken about all the things that have happened in my life. You can have all of that too. Matter of fact, I'm not just one person who's saying you can have that too. I've seen countless people's lives changed because of what I did. So because of what I did, I've seen countless people's lives changed. I've seen them go, some of them go up the mountain massively because of what I did. And they're now inspiring other people's lives. They're changing other people's lives through their change. That's how it works. We display the kingdom of God. Through us, the kingdom of God is expressed. So all you've got to do is just sit down and will to go forward. Even if you pray in tongues for 5 minutes a day, right? You can have a cup of tea in 5 minutes, I'm sure. Pray for 5 minutes a day. Then go 10, 15 minutes, half an hour. You can have as much of God as you want, as much as your heart desires, as much as the transformation of your heart desires. Think about it. It's an invitation that's only going to come around once. You're like a blade of grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. You haven't got much time to make that choice, because your choices in this world will determine where you're going to spend eternity. So you think about that. Anyway, we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.